Good afternoon. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue our class. Now I have the lamb list, I mean the sitting plan. Good, good, good. Okay, so this morning, we have gone through the background of the book of Micah. And now let's starting to look at chapter 1. Let's turn to the book of Micah, chapter 1. Micah chapter 1. Now, verse 1 here tell us, the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So just for your information, here give us the date, of three kings. The first one here mentioned is Jotham. This king reigned on 750 to 732 B.C. 约坦王哦. Another one follow him is called Ahaz or Ahaz, which is from 735 to 715. And then the last king, which is more famous, Hezekiah, Shishijawang. He's from 715 to 868. So that's why we can say Micah, his reign is from 750 to 686. So I think this is one of the very good teachings. Well, we work for God. Actually, it's not just a one day or one week process. It's not that you come to NYTS here 2 weeks, you're so zealous, you're charged here, you have so much power during the prayer for 2 weeks, and then, oh yeah, we'll go back. But after 1 month, everything go back the same. That's all always we heard. We come here to charge the battery. I think this is a very bad term. If you only come here to charge the battery once a year, definitely your machine will die. If this is the only place you charge spiritually, you're not going to have enough energy to keep your faith running. So we have to charge the power of God always, just like your laptop, right? Always charging. Even your one-third energy left, charge it. So this Micah, he worked for God his whole life. Can you imagine? He's a faithful worker, even though he's living in village. But he worked for God, prophesied for the whole duration of his lifetime. Now, the first discourse, of course, started on verse 2. Here, the message has come. Now, what is the message is about? Where it is from? Verse 1 tells us the word of the Lord and the vision. So basically, what happened to Micah? Where did he get his divine message? The word came to him. And then the vision came to him in spirit. So God foretold to him about what is going to happen. And even he graphically saw what happened. So that's why this provides so much profound impact on his ministry. Because he knew it's going to happen. He knew that it's going to be true. So that's why he was so moved to work for God all his whole life. So I think in our life, we also need these two things. First is his word. We come here now already more than 1 week. Are we already touched by his word? And vision, now today, not necessarily we see light or angels every time. But do we touch by the Holy Spirit when we pray? So these two things actually is the reason why we come here. Now this Micah, he received this calling. He received this message from the Lord. Now let's look at verse 2. Hear, O people, all of you, listen on earth, and all who are in it, that the sovereign Lord may witness against you the law from his holy temple. So this is the prologue. This is the introduction about what is going to happen, that God is going to witness against his people. Now, verse 3, let's look at verse 3. Here it said, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He come down and tread the high places of the earth. And verse 4 is to describe how God is going to bring judgment. The mountain melts, it wags away, the fires come. Now, here tell us, what is divine intervention? divine intervention. What does it mean? Here described God came out from his dwelling place. Doesn't mean God is originally in heaven, but now he got to come out to do something, to do something special. Now, throughout the Bible, there are two ways that you human being, even though we are so minute, we are human beings, but we can induce divine intervention. Two reasons. Who can tell me? Yes? Anyone? What are the two ways you can force God or you can cause God to react, to intervene your life, intervene history? Yes? Sorry? Say louder, please.
You can pray.
Okay. So first way to God, to get God intervene, is, of course, when a person repents. Of course, include prayer, fasting, or just turn to God. Just like, who can give me any history, historical evidence, huh? What happened in the Bible that something happened? Yes? Jonah, yes. Not Jonah himself, but who? The people of whom? Nineveh. God was supposed to destroy them, but the whole country, they repented. And God said, okay, I spare you this time. So, by true repentance, that you can induce divine intervention. You can change the heart of God. Actually, the heart of God is not easy to change. It's easier than what you can think. Sometimes you think change a person's mind is very easy. It's difficult. Huh? For example, sometimes you persuade your mom or dad to buy you this and that. You talk the whole year. Will not even buy you a car or whatever. Huh? So, changing a person's mind is hard. But changing the heart of God is not hard. According to the book, if you see, we read later. The whole book through of the message of hope. God said, if you return, I also return. If you repent, I'll forgive your sin. So this is the first way to cause divine intervention. Now, what is the second thing? Second way you can cause divine intervention. Anyone? Yes? Sorry, can you say it again? When you don't repent. So basically, when you commit too much sin. So this is quite interesting, huh? When the sin is too much, yes, the whole world have sinned, but God has a time for everything. But when the sin is too much, then God has to do something earlier than what he planned. So here, the sin are too much that God cannot bear. I say, I'll come out, I'll bring a case just like a lawyer. Can you imagine that? When you think about the Bible, you must imagine how they bring the language. Just like a lawyer going to the court, bring the whole case, whole book, I don't care how, I'm going to bring a case against you. So this is what God is going to do now. I'll bring a case against the people of Israel. Now let's look at verse 5. All this is because of Jacob's transgression, because of the sin, the house of Israel. Because of the sin, here tell us verse 5, huh? The sin, what happened? The sin will bring the wrath of God. The sin they commit bring God's wrath and then destruction. So this formula never change. Sin, God is sensitive to it. And God is not happy about it. God is unhappy, and then if they do not repent, they will bring destruction. Now, what are the response of Prophet Micah here? Let's read verse 8 and 9. Hannah Nin, can you read for us, please? From Garden Grove. I try to remember where you're from too. Okay, Hannah, please. Okay, verse 9 also. Okay, what is the response of Micah here? What he was saying he was going to do or he was doing? He'll do what? He'll be mourning. Now, why will he mourn for someone who is so far away? Do you remember where did he prophesy? Even though he was prophesying against the north, where was he staying? The south. So basically, these two countries are in a vital position. They are the enemy of each other. But why a prophet will feel sorry, will feel sad for the sin committed by other country? What is the reason? I think because he has the heart of God. He has the heart of God. Not only angry at what they are doing, but they will feel so sad. They will feel so sad. Think about this. I think, I don't know, just what I asked most of you this morning. Most of us were chastised by our parents, isn't it? Most of us were beaten up somehow, disciplined somehow. But can you remember when your parents disciplined you? How did they feel? Besides anger, what did they feel? I remember when I was high school, don't learn from me, it's a negative example, don't learn from me. There was 1 year, I really didn't study at all. So lazy. Don't tell other people. And that year, I end up to be the last one in my class. Wow, that is bad. And you know the day of giving out the result, the record book, you ask the parent to come. I don't know in America, but in Asian country, you always, it's called a parent day, the big day, your parent must be there to receive the report card. And my mom was there. And on that day, I was shaking. I know, this is bad. This time I did so badly on the result. What she do to me? And then I'm so worried. And then sit down with the teacher. The teacher said, oh, this year, Timothy is really didn't catch up on the exam and all that. He's the last one in his whole class. My mom, I look at her response. She was just frozen. And then she burst into tears. And I don't know what happened. I don't know how to say. I don't even know how to say a word. And she just cried. And that made me feel even worse. If she rebuked me or even hit me because I'm bigger than her, it's okay. But when she's so sad, and I try to think, now what have I done to her? What have I done to her? Because of my laziness, I bring so much shame on her, I waste her money on the school. And I feel so sad about myself. So think about a worker of God. A worker of God should have the heart of a parent. This is the key point. We should have the heart of a parent. When you see something, when you see any weaknesses in the church, you will not be angry or judgmental. You will say, oh, how can I help? I'm so sad about the whole situation, but what can I do? Maybe you see a brother and sister not as fervent as you. But when you go back, how do you see them? The most dangerous things about coming to NYTS, I'm not saying I discourage you to come here, but the most dangerous things will happen when we come here, spend 2 weeks, and we go back, we have a kind of superior feeling. I say, oh, I'm NYTS veteran. Oh, you didn't come to NYTS. You always late during the service. You're not fervent. Look at me, how long I pray here. I pray 2 hours here. I fast 2 meals every day. And look at you. If this is what we bring home, I tell you, we fail God coming here 2 weeks. A true worker is, yeah, you come here to learn more, but you not feel judgmental to other people. You more pray for them. You sympathize them. Sympathize them. So this is the response of the prophet Micah. Just like the parent feels sad. Actually, God is the one more sad than the parent. Feel more sad than parent if we are weak spiritually. So we must try to understand. We must try to help. Now, if you read verse 10 to verse 14, okay, Chantal, can you read for us? 10 to 14, this is a difficult passage to read with lots of name of the places. Yes, can you read for us, please? Okay, thank you very much. Now, these few words is where the prophet Micah employs some techniques of wordplay in putting out his message. Of course, when you read English, you will not see the effect. And verse 10, he said, tell it not to Gath, wept not at all. What does it mean? Do not tell the problem, the calamity. Actually, Gath means tell. So if you read in the original language, that formed the wordplay. Because the name of the place means tell. But do not tell to the place of tell. So that's why how he make try to use this kind of techniques. So to not tell Gath, which means tell. Okay, how about Ben Ophrah? You can see another place called Ben Ophrah. Actually, Beth means house. Ophrah means dust. So house of dust. But in the house of dust, actually, surely there'll be roll in the dust. So this is how he employed this kind of techniques. Huh? And verse 11 is the same. You see, pass on in nakedness and shame, you who live in Sophir. S-H-A-P-H-I-R. This word actually means pleasant. But actually, there's no more pleasant because you're going to be named naked and shame. So I will not go into all the details here. It's something in your notes. But here is how the prophet employed this kind of techniques of wordplay to make his message more easy to understand through a contrast of the name of the meanings. Now, what are the main teachings? Now, we read chapter 1 already. What are the main teachings on this chapter? We go step by step, one by one. Because the Word of God always has its teachings, which is relevant to today's life. So what is the first teaching? The first one tell us here is sin can spread. Sin can spread. Let's read verse 9. Verse 9. Richard Fan, can you read for us? Read loudly, stand up. Now from now I tell you to read, you stand up and read loudly so that you'll be, all of us will hear. Thank you, Richard. Verse 9, just verse 9. Okay, here tell us sin can spread. Why? The sin is from where? At the beginning, it's from the loft, right? Samaria. Now, the south is Judah. But don't think that sin can live in a very isolated way. No, the sin, even though at the beginning, is Israel, worship idol. But later, even though they have a boundary, even though they are enemies, politically speaking, but sin is so powerful to penetrate all the boundary in political, cultural. Because why? Because devil is the force behind all sins. So at the beginning, they worship idol there. Very soon, this is going to spread to Judah. And here is one word, it's called what? Incurable. When a sin is small, it is curable. You can just stop it. But when it's getting bigger and bigger, just like your wound, if you do not treat it, infection will come. And infection spread the whole wounded area, and then you may amputate, and you may cut off the body part. And if it's cut off too late, you can even affect the whole body. So when sins become incurable, then it's too late. So this tells us the first teaching. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 15. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 15. Michael Chong, can you read for us? Michael Chong. James, chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, thank you very much. So, here it says, desire will conceive and grow up like a baby, and become a sin, and the death will come. So, we have to be so careful. Don't look down the details of our life. Sometimes you think, who cares if I do this? It's just a minor thing. As soon as I come to church, I watch this movie. It doesn't really affect me. Sometimes we think, I just hang out with this kind of friend. We are just friends. I know they are not brother and sister. They are not going to have any effect on me. But remember, the bad things spread faster than the good things. Isn't it? The bad things. For example, if one person here have a flu now, thank God that so far, I think we are all okay. But last month in South Africa, we have a spiritual convocation. Just starting, one person have a flu. Because we all live in one house. At the end, almost all the students have the flu. So this kind of just bad things just spread very quickly. So sin is the thing that can spread most quickly. I remember, there was a youth, that was me actually. When I was a primary school, very small, we grew up in a church, we never do bad things, and we are always excited to hear, is there any chance to be rebellion? So, grade 6, at that time, there was a few students who were bigger and taller, And they said, after school, we are going to have a fight outside in the street. Gang fight. And we said, wow. And I said, wow, it's sounding exciting. He said, can I join? He looked at me and said, you're so short. No, you shouldn't go. We won't take you. Oh, I said, oh, so disappointed. But thank God, they never take me. If they take me, they want to join me in the group, even though they are not really the bad or criminal, but they just not doing the right thing. If we join the wrong friends, they will have such profound influence in our life, truly. So some people say, how do you know the future of a person? How do you know a future of a person? Do you need a crystal ball? Say, oh, where's the future? How do I look like? No, you don't need a crystal ball to know a future of a person. What do you need is you look at the friends he choose to hang out with, and it kind of 99% accuracy predict about the future. Why? Because whoever you hang out with, you'll be the same. You'll be the same. You always hang out with the people who are godly, spiritual, honest, faithful. In future, you'll be like one of them. But if a godly, faithful person hang out with people with bad habits, easily sin can spread. Don't think I'm immune. No, there's nobody is immune. Even preacher, elder, deacon is not immune. Sin just can spread. So we have to be very careful about a small aspect of our life. Don't just think it doesn't worry us. Now, another teaching is the different response to the people who committed sin or who is weak. What are the response that one can have when people see that, oh, you commit sin or you're in a weak situation? The first response could be, I'll give you three possible response. The first response could be, whoa, he can do it. I just admire. I hope that if I were not born in True Jesus Church, I can just go out and do the same thing. This is called admiring people. Do you want me to write everything I say? Do you want me to write everything? No. I just say the main point you write down. The first one is you admire people doing bad things. You yawn that you want to learn from them. But that's not good. You learn from them. Actually, they are in sin. They are in no freedom. But you enjoy, you try to learn from them. Now the second, I write down. Admire the evil. They say, oh, I wish I could have joined you. But that's not good. That's not a good attitude. The second attitude is you see people in weaknesses or sin, then you kind of feel happy. You feel kind of self-righteous. Oh, you say, look at this. I know they will do this. They have no hope. They're incurable. So this kind of mentality is called self-righteous. Now self-righteousness is not good. It's not good. According to the Bible, God is not happy. Let's turn to Proverbs 24, verse 17 to 18. Proverbs 24, 17 to 18. Sarah Pai. Sarah Pai. Read first. Can you stand up, please? Sarah Pai. Proverbs 24, 17 to 18. Yeah, Sarah. Thank you very much, even though I could not hear. Okay. So next time I try, because we all know we are all very, very reserved, but try to speak loud. This is the training of public speaking. I read out loud the voice of God, the word of God. So here tell us, do not rejoice when you see people fall. When you stumble, do not let your heart be rejoiced, because God will turn back to you and say, hey, why are you happy? Because other people are sinning, other people are falling. God don't like this kind of attitude. So what is the attitude that God wants us to have? Mourn for them. Pray for them. Just like the prophet Micah. Now here, I want you to do your first journal tonight. Just you spend 15 minutes, write one page about your own reflection. I hope that will not give you too much pressure. But when you write, you think. Now you are not thinking. You are in a passive state of responding to lots of information. But now I want you to think. Now this is the topic, This is the topic. Listen carefully. Now, sins can spread. When was the last time your friend tried to influence you negatively? Let me repeat that. Sins can spread. This is what we learned in the class. When was the last time your friend tried to influence you negatively? How did you cope with that? So this is actually, basically, your own personal journal. Write about your own experience. When was the last time? We know there are many influences around us. Most of them are negative. So how did you cope with this kind of influence? So just write one page. I don't know you most. I don't know most of you. I don't even know your parents. So it's okay. You can write your true story. I will not come back to you. I will not come back to your parents. I don't know all of you. This Friday, I'm going. I'm flying. So try to think about, share about your own thoughts in this topic. Huh? Any questions so far in chapter 1? Now if not, let's turn to chapter 2. We'll go quicker. Micah chapter 2. Now Micah chapter 2, what is it talking about here? Actually, talk from verse 1 to verse 11, talk about corruption. In Micah's time, the society, no matter north or south, especially the north, the corruption that was happening during that time. Now first is the greed of the ruling class. We know greed is one of the root of all evilness. Greed, because the desire. What is greed? Greed is the desire. When the desire is bigger than your self-control, it is greed. Now, a society will suffer when even the ruling class is so greedy. So we can see in this chapter, verse 1 to 11, what happened? Basically, they just grab people's houses, land, grabbed by the ruling class. Just imagine if one day your government come to you and say, no, grab your house, chase away, away. You'll be landless, you'll become houseless, homeless. Remember, it's not the robber who came to do it, but the government come to do it. Your ruling class come to do it. Then how will the whole society be? It'll become so corrupt. Now, what is the result of this evilness happening? Now, God tell them one result. If you grab people's houses, what will happen? Let's read verse 4 to 5. Okay, this is very good. Thank you very much, Trevor. Here you tell us, this is God's pronouncement of judgment. You grab the houses of people, and what will God do? What will God do? God said, what will he do? Read again, don't just read and pass it like this. What will God do? You grab people's things, and then what happened? Taunt you. Okay, what else? Try. Very good. What does it mean? And verse 5, especially verse 5, what did God will do? Yes, come, read the Bible, read. The answer is there. We just... What did verse 5 say? Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. What does it mean? You have no one to divide the land. This means you have no land, isn't it? You want to divide, but there's nothing to divide. Why? Because one day, you, who the ruling class, who once robbed people, you'll be robbed. You'll be robbed. Can you see the point? Yes, we are greedy. We grab our people's houses. God said, okay, I'll arrange somebody more greedy than you to grab all your houses. Now, they grab the people's houses, right? This is the ruling class. They grab people's houses. And God will prepare someone who is more greedy than them to grab everything they have. Who are they? Who are they? History. Huh? Assyria. Yes. Because one day they will be plundered. They will be in exile. They will have no land to divide. So this is a very important concept here. When you give, when you are generous, God will be generous to you. When you are greedy, when you grab some people's things, when you are greedy, and try to grab people's things, God will grab it from you. I just hear a brother testimony during the MITS. He said he was working so hard for a company, for a boss in his computer company. And that boss, even though the employee was working so hard, promised them this and that, but never realized their promise. And one day, all the employees find out, the boss said, I have sold the company. So all the promise in the past, what I'll give you, actually now it's not valid anymore. So all the employees were so disappointed. The boss lied to us. We spent all the effort and everything, even though the wages may not pay up, all the bonuses, everything gone. So disappointed. But guess what happened? This boss, because he sold the company earlier secretly, and such a big amount of money, he wanted to evade tax. So he tells his wife, now, this money, give it to you first, under your name. You go to China, hide there. And then later I'll come to join you. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? The wife disappeared. The wife deserted the husband and hide all the money, right, run away. Don't even want a husband. This is real. This is what the brother told me. I would think, oh, this is, the Bible is really true. Not even true on believer, but true on everyone. If we do not keep the word of God, if we grab other people's things, God can grab it from us. You will have nothing. So this is what the problem in the Micah's time society. Now the second problem, you can read from the verse 11 to verse 11. Not only the ruling class have problem, but also the religious leadership. The religious leadership, they also have so much problem. What is the problem here? Verse 11. If a lion and deceiver came to say, oh, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, he would be put just a prophet for his people. So what does it mean? If anyone come to preach good news, despite all the corruption, they just say, oh, you'll be blessed by God, prosperity, peace, God bless you. And they say, okay, you'll be our priest, you'll be our prophet, no problem. Why? Because all they want to hear is good news. They don't want to hear any bad news. They don't want to hear any true word of God. So this worker of God, so-called worker of God, religious leadership, they're also so corrupt. They want material. They want material. Now, the second part, after studying verse 1 to verse 12, you look at verse 12. From verse 12 to verse 13, Vivian Chen, give it for us. Verse 12 and 13. Okay, thank you very much. Here is the first time in this whole book. This is the positive hope, statement of hope that God will do. God said, even though you did so bad things, but after a while, I'll surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I'll bring together the remnant of Israel. I'll bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture, the place with throngs, with people. So what does it tell us here? Okay, historically, it fulfilled. When? When? You study the book of Daniel, did it mention here? But okay, just give you a day. The return of exile and the year BC 538. Remember which year they were brought away to Babylon? Which year? Yao? Which year? Yes, they were in the north country. How about the south? You know, the north one, the Assyria one, they were brought away, but actually they didn't really return. But the one who returned actually was the one from the Babylon, later become Persian. Which year they were brought back? Okay, they were brought away when? To the country, Jerusalem were destroyed, and many of them were brought away 586, and later they were brought back at 538 BC. So roughly around 70 years later. So historically, this past fulfilled. Yes. Okay. So historically, this part fulfilled. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, we must know what is the historical part, which can fulfill. But what is referring to the spiritual part? So this one, God promised them, I'll bring back the remnant of Israel. They will come back. Now, how about spiritually speaking? Let's look at verse 13. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They'll break through the gate and go out. The king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Here, try to depict a picture about how God will guide them through. Now, think about this. They were in a foreign land. They were captivated in the city. But who was leading them? He said, look at this word here. God said, I'll break the gates. Break the gates. You want to go out, but you have no strength. You have no strength. You want to go out, you want to go to your home, but you have no strength. And I'll break the gate. I'll lead you. I'll in front of you. I'll let you to go back home. So spiritually, what does it mean? Spiritually means today we can be also in exile. Do you know? We can be in exile. We never know. If we are controlled by our bad habits, our sins. Yeah, we know it's not good, but we cannot control ourselves. Our sin is just like dragging us so far from God. So far from the Jerusalem, so far from the city of God. We cannot control ourselves. We are so far from our family, so far from God. We're suffering enough there. But one day God can if we return to Him, if we ask Him, God help me. If you have this incentive, I want to come back, please help me. And then God can break through the gates. Today, what problem are you facing? Maybe you're facing some problem. You cannot even break the gate. You cannot go out. But God can help you to bring the gate, break it, and lead you all the way back to Jerusalem, to the house of God. This is the teaching, the spiritual teachings concerning here. So this is chapter 2. Any question of chapter 2? Okay, chapter 3, we go very quickly. Here, the second discourse, the second message. Here about what? Chapter 3, let's read verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Tommy Shaw. Tommy. Okay, thank you very much. Now here, continue the pronouncement of the corruption of the people of Israel and Judah also. Here, the first, verse 1 to verse 4, talks about the sins of Judah leadership. Now this time is not actually about greediness, but this time is about injustice. Social injustice. This means when they judge the case, they don't judge according to right and wrong. Now why there will be social injustice? Actually the root of the injustice is also what? What is the root? Why there will be bribe, giving bribe, taking bribe, buying judgment? The greed, also the same problem. You see, actually when you talk about all the things, actually it's go down to one root. It's the greed. So because they want money, they can change the judgment. They don't want to practice justice. Here tell us, they love evil, hate good. This is exactly the opposite of what God wants people to do. God wants people, you love good, hate evil. But they're just doing exactly the opposite. Now, why will this be happening? Why will the ruling class, the leadership, will be so bold to do all these bad things? Another reason is because the prophets let them do it. The sins of prophets. If the prophet is very blunt, very straightforward, attack them, then they will not do whatever they're doing now. But the prophet also have sin, verse 5 to 7. Philip, can you read for us? Verse 5 to 7. Philip. Can you stand up and read loud so that everybody hear you, please? Yes, Philip. Good. This is what the Lord said. 5 to 7. Thank you very much, Philip. Now, here tell us, the problem is the prophet, they are lying. They tell lies. They are liars. When there's no peace, they proclaim there's peace. Now why? What's the reason? Who can change a prophet of God from someone who speaks the truth, have so powerful, to become someone so corrupt and so useless? What can change? Why? What can change them? What is the reason? Why will the prophet prophesy lie? What would they want to gain? What do they want to gain? They want to gain money. They want to gain food. Here, verse chapter 2, verse 11 tell us. Chapter 2, 11 tell us, when they have drink of their wine, they can be the prophets. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. Here tell us, if meat, you give them meat, they just prophesy. Lie. So, this is the root of the problem. So, all the same, the root of the problem is because the prophet cannot be satisfied with the lifestyle, they want more food, more money, so they will prophesy lie. And the people, the result, first, is the people led astray. People led astray. And secondly, what is the result? No more vision. God said, you have no more vision, no more word of God, no more divination, no more casting of lots, no nothing. That means God is not talking. If you want to talk your own way, then God will not talk. If you want to do things your own way, God will not do anything. So this is the problem. The people were led astray. The leadership were doing the wrong thing. The whole society was so corrupt. So corrupt. Now here, let's think about one issue here. If you were the prophet at the time, what would you do? If you were the prophet. For example, Jessica, if you were the prophet. If you preach the truth, people will pick up stone you. If you preach, wow, we're doing well, everything is fine. People say, okay, come and eat. Which one you choose? As a human being. Yeah, eat. Let's thank God. You have to be honest. We all like this because people like comfortable life. But if we prophesize something which is true, people hate us. So this comes to a point we must understand one thing. God's message. God's message, most of the time, you find it very hard. Why? Why you find it hard? When you are far from God, you will find out that, wow, I just don't like this message. Because it's just talking about me. It seems that God is picking on me. But actually, this hard message is what you need. We must know the difference. Sometimes you want to hear something. But when you come to God, God will not tell you what you want to hear. No. When you come here, before the prophets, before the Bible, before the Word of God, God will not tell you what you want to hear. God will tell you what you need to hear. God will tell you, you need to repent, you need to change, otherwise you'll suffer yourself. But people say, no, we don't want to hear that. If you tell something very soft, yeah, I like you. Preach more. If it's a rebuke, no, this preacher is too hard, I don't want to hear his class. You say, Timothy, no, my class, I don't like it, next time. So, God wants us to take what we need to take, not that what we want to take. So this is very important. So today, what kind of message do we choose to take? We must choose the right one. Choose the one we need to follow. Now verse 9 to 12, continue, the third part. Verse 9 to 12 talks about the sins of leadership. The political leadership, the sins of the political leadership. What was happening? Verse 9 to 12. Okay, here is a general statement against all the leadership, the sins. Now, what was the problem? The problem is so-called secularism. Everything is so secular. Secularism, Everything was so secular. You just put money. Everything put a money sign on it. It's so secular, so worldly. It means so worldly. Everything talk about money. If no money, no, I will not hear your case. If no money, I will not bring justice. No money, I will not help you. So everyone is asking for bribe, for a price. That is what is the heart, the root of the problem of human heart. I know some of you, some years later, maybe you start to work. The more you advance in a corporate ladder in future, actually, the more temptation you see about corruption. Now, you don't see much corruption. But actually, you know what happened? For this intellectual, just like you guys, come to go to university, take degree, PhD, intellectual sin actually is more to do with corruption. We will not just go out to rob people or kill people, but those who have degree, master, PhD, have a very difficult, very developed thinking. The sin they commit is more intellectual. Bribe, all these things. So we must be careful not to follow this way. So now let's continue to read verse 8. Now here is very important verse. You can underline this verse. This is one of the golden words in the whole book. As for me, what will happen? As for me, this phrase is very important. Why? Other people are doing the bad things. Now, do you decide to follow them? Or you want to be different? Or you dare to be different? Just yesterday, you talk about what? Do not, what? What's my slogan? Do not? Do not conform, but be. Wow, thank God you still remember the slogan. So people are doing this, they're taking bribe, they're telling lies, they don't do work for God. But as for me, I am different. I'm there to be different. Who are the bravest? The bravest is not the people who say, oh, go to spongy jumping. Sometimes you say, oh, I can spongy jump. Anyone try spongy jumping? Or base jumping? You think, oh, I'm very brave. I can jump down. I don't fear death. To be different. You dare to not follow the crowd. Other people are doing the wrong thing, but you are there to say, no, I'm not following it because I'm the children of God. So as for me, what happened? First, I have power. I'm filled with God's power. Power of what? Spirit of God. So not because you are very strong physically, you have muscle so that you can overcome your temptation. No. We can overcome temptation because we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. When the power of God is with us, you just cannot control yourself. You just cannot follow the sin. You just say, oh, I want to follow God. It's so neutral. So I have the power of God, and then what happened? I'll declare justice and might, and then to declare the sin of Israel and Jacob. Do you know, in order to tell someone you are wrong, you have to have loss of courage. To tell you, oh, you're doing good, you're fine, I like you. This is very easy. But to tell you that you are doing wrong, you need to change. It takes so much courage to do so, because nobody wants to correct people. Nowadays, people just want to praise you. You will not hear loss of voice to correct you nowadays. The more you grow up, the less you hear the true voice. Nowadays, who can correct you? Mostly your parent. But nowadays, in this stage, we don't like to hear our parent. But actually, they are the true voice, usually, who want to tell us the truth. So as for me, I have the power of God. For Holy Spirit, just that might, I can declare the wrong of Jacob. Now, what does it symbolize? I think this also can symbolize the true church in the end time. What is the true church? The true church by the Holy Spirit. The true church by the justice of God is the truth. Because the Bible tells us, no Holy Spirit, you will not belong to God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So you just write it down and read it later. And you must preach the word of God, the might, perform the power, the miracle, signs and wonder, to prove the truth is correct. And to declare people that you are wrong. And now that this is the essence of the true church, do you know? But sometimes we forget why we are here. The true church is to correct the mistake of our denomination. This is the reason why true church exists. But after so many years, we forget this mission. Do you know, the true dear church, before we got this name, the very first primitive name, what is it called? I don't know how it is in English. But before they got the understandable Bible, got the true meaning, a true Jesus church. Actually, they were using this name. And at least this is one of the mission of the early generation. Huh? This is called what? 万国更正教. This means to correct the whole world. This is the mission to correct the whole world. All the denomination. This is the mission to correct the whole world, to come back to the Lord. Later, they study the Bible, they find out God revealed to them. It's got to, the true Jesus' name is more better. But actually, the mission behind Jesus' church, actually, it's 万国更正教, is to correct all the mistake of other generation. So this is what we forgot. We want to be the same with our denomination. Just to conclude today's class, I want to share with you one of my experiences in Kenya last year. You know, sometimes telling the truth is not easy, but we have to emphasize. What happened was, in Kenya, we met a group of Chinese Christians, and they were so happy to see us, because they look at me and other missionaries. They said, oh, you can speak Chinese, you can speak Mandarin. Wow, you come to Kenya. Don't just preach to the black people. Come also to us. We are so many Chinese here. We need a pastor. And they're so happy. And they invite us, what happened? They invite us to Sheraton to eat a five-star Chinese food. Wow, that's the first time I entered a five-star hotel in Kenya, Nairobi. The expensive Chinese food there. And I knew if I say something about the doctrine, the water baptism, Holy Spirit, I'll spoil the whole. They even say at the beginning on the lunch, they say, oh yeah, maybe you can come, we can employ you. You come always, you help us. I know. But I say, I must say something. I cannot just eat this lunch in vain. If I don't tell you the truth, if you die, you go to hell, I must be responsible. Because Jesus will ask me, Timothy, on that lunch, you just eat the fish, eat the chicken, never tell the truth. But if I tell the truth, they're going to hate me. They're going to not accept me. So what do I do? Oh, the heart, so much struggle. I was praying in the heart. Oh Lord, this is very difficult. I like the food. I want to eat it again. Because they even invite me, oh, next 2 weeks later, the Christmas, you can come to have a special service. But I was praying in my heart, I know, I must preach the word of God. So I was waiting. And suddenly, he bring the subject. I said, oh, we think that all the church are the same. Okay, then say, I must come in now. So the result was very expected. I said, oh, okay, we'll keep in touch later. They said, we'll keep in touch, because actually they were trying to invite me to a deliver a sermon there. But I said, after knowing, because I tried to tell him, no, well, this is what we believe in the truth. He said, oh, no, it's okay. No, thank you very much. We'll keep in touch next time. So finish, no more Chinese food. But we have to do it. We have to do it. This is our mission. This is the mission of Amos. Micah. Even though people hate him, even though people will not give them food if they preach the truth, I still have to preach it. So do we have this determination today? So we thank God that we pray in silence to end our class here.